Guys, sorry, I've got like really awkward like starting these. I don't know because I'm like I don't know if there's gonna be like music or something at the start, and like I don't want to be like hello, and then someone on the bus is like screaming because their AirPods is just like someone shouting in their ear. Do you know what I mean? So anyway, again on that strange note, hello and welcome back to the Academy Bites. So this is my second episode. I feel like a veteran now. I feel like I should like basically just like host my own radio show or something. It's just like it's casual flex, you know. But anyway, so Katie again, and we are going to be chatting about Spanish once again. I might just say here now that for those of you that, as if there's anyone listening to this that doesn't study Spanish, but on the off chance that some of you are studying French or German or whatever, I would say that for today's episode, a lot of what I'm going to be speaking about is probably fairly accurate for every modern foreign language because we're going to be chatting about kind of where you should be now with your language and what you should be doing coming up to the oral exam. So fair enough, I might reference Spanish a little bit more, but it might be beneficial to those of you studying French and German as well. Okay, so like I just said, my name is Katie. I teach Spanish. I also teach French. I should be able to teach Italian, but realistically, like that's not really going to happen anytime soon. But what we're going to be having a chat about today is maybe kind of how you have either coped or are going to cope or are currently coping with mock season, depending on what your school's timetable is. And then we're going to be chatting about everyone's worst nightmare in the whole world, which is the oral exam. And I'm going to try and hopefully leave you with less PTSD than I did the last time. So fingers crossed we actually managed to do that. But so basically what we're going to start off with is having a chat about the mocks. Okay. First of all, if you have done your mock and your mock like I'm trying like the things that I have to do to not curse are not acceptable. So if your mock didn't go to plan, okay, if you destroyed your mock, if the mock made you cry, whatever. Same, my mocks all made me cry as well. I was so upset with so many of them, whatever. All I'm going to say is the people that make the mock papers are not the same people that make the exams. The mock papers are always more difficult than the actual exam, because things like I don't know why they're more difficult, but if you think about it, you're doing an exam that's designed to be done in June and you're doing it in February. So first of all, you haven't finished the course. Second of all, I like that sounds like such a cop out being like, you haven't finished the course. Firstly, so you haven't finished the course, but you also haven't got another 4 months of practice under your belt. Do you know what I mean? So whether that's with Spanish, French, German, maths, whatever it is, you would technically speaking, when you do your exam in June, you're going to have another 3.5, 4 months of practice with the language or with the subject under your belt. So for everything that you flunked in your mock, hopefully you're going to have the next 3 or 4 months to actually cope with that and improve. So all I would say is stop being so hard on yourself, get over yourself, deal with it. It was one exam. It's not going to ruin your whole life. Okay. Tough love. Right. Get over yourself. It's not that deep. Move on. Okay. We move on. We accept it. We are leaving it in the past. Okay. Getting all of our hot girl summer energy coming up for our leaving cert exams. Boys listening, you have to channel your own hot girl summer energy as well. Okay. Right. And we're just gonna take that and we're gonna take it in our stride. We're gonna make it to June and we're gonna be stunning in our leaving cert exam. Okay. Anyway, let's go back to reality a little bit here because I'm getting too excited. Sorry, me at the beginning. I should have my own radio show. Also me. Okay. So anyway, so speaking of the mocks, right? If your goal is a H1 and you've got a H5 in your mocks, right, you're gonna have to sit down and have a cold hard conversation with yourself. Okay. What I mean by that is if you have this goal in your head or like you have this idea in your head of what grade you'd like to get in your exam and your mock didn't go to plan, and it wasn't because like the question you wanted to come up didn't come up, like you just made honest mistakes. That's something that now you're gonna have to mentally deal with and then be like, okay, I need to make a plan of action. So what did I mess up in my mock and how can I move forward with that? So like if you went into your mock and like your vocab was stunning, but your tenses went to crap, that's something that you're really going to need to prioritize because your tenses are going to come up again in your oral exam. They're going to account for like 30% of the general conversation part in terms of your grammar. And then they're also going to come back in your final exam as well. Do you know what I mean? So what I mean by that is, obviously, I can't give everyone individual advice here because everyone's going to have made different mistakes in their mocks. But if you are very far away from your ultimate goal for your Leaving Cert exam, you need to sit down, whether that's on your own, with your mates, with your teacher, with your grinds teacher, following a plan online, whatever it is, and be like, okay, I really messed this up. This is what I'm going to have to do from now until my oral exam. And then from my oral exam until June, this is what I'm going to have to do. Okay. So that'd be my first piece of advice, would be to take all of the feedback on board from your mock. Don't just look at your mock and be like, that corrector was so mean. Or like, you said I was going to get a H2 and I got a H6. Okay, get over yourself. Okay, no one's giving you a H6 just for the crack, right? I don't want my students to get a H6. I want my students to get a H2. Who's giving you a H6 for the laugh, right? So get that out of your head. Take the cold hard advice and make a plan, move on with it. Right. Now, oral exam. Let's have a chat about this. Stop freaking yourself out about the oral exam. Okay? Please, let's all repeat it together. Okay? If you're on the bus, I don't care, say this out loud. Stop freaking yourself out about the oral exam. Okay? It's 12 minutes of your whole life. Right? You're going to be in a room with this person for 12 minutes. Okay? Do you know how many students I've had, and I mean physically crying on my shoulder about the oral exam, okay? First of all, I wear fake tan, okay? I don't need your tears on my shoulder. That's a patchy mess, right? So evacuate, please. Second of all, why are you crying about talking to someone for 12 minutes, right? Now, I'm saying that like it's so blasé. I cried my eyes out for probably 12 months about those 12 minutes, okay? So I'm saying it as someone who wasted that much time of their own life. Honest to God, okay, so let me get off my sassy horse here for a second. All jokes aside, you're going, okay, let's break this down into what it actually is. You are going to be sitting in a room with someone who is hired by the State Examinations Commission to ask you questions in Spanish, okay? You're going to be in that room for 12 minutes. Let's say your role play is going to be a minute and a half of that, okay? That's 10 and a half minutes. And then if the examiner, when they're asking questions and stuff, is going to be speaking for another minute and a half, that's 9 minutes, right? So you're telling me that after 6 years of studying Spanish, you don't have 9 minutes of prepared conversation, okay? Now, people are going to be like, Katie, 9 minutes speaking Spanish. Oh my God, okay? Please stop expecting so little of yourself. If you have been doing Spanish since first year and you have been awake for those classes, okay? Even if you haven't done anything, you've been awake for those classes, you will be capable of speaking Spanish for 9 minutes, okay? People get so worked up about it and they're like, oh my God, what if I'm asked about Brexit? Okay, we're like, oh my God, what if I'm asked about Donald Trump? The examiner's not going to be like if you go in, you're like, oh, I love football. Okay, I don't love football, but like, for argument's sake, if I was like, I love football, the examiner's not going to be like, don't care, let's talk about Trump. Do you know what I mean? So they will feed off what you give them. And towards the end of the conversation, if they feel as though your language has been like very good or very strong, or that you seem very confident, you're very relaxed or something, towards the end of the conversation, they might ask you a few things that you might be like, oh my God, they're trying to trick me. They're not. They're just saying, okay, you've done really well here. So let's see, can you cope with a little bit more of a more complex title? So I can give you the opportunity to get up into that next grade bracket in terms of the bell curve and like all of the different guidelines for grades. Do you get me? So the examiner's not there to ruin your life. The examiner is there to pull all of your Spanish out of you and give you the opportunity to get marks. And like the oral exam will, typically speaking, bring people up in terms of the marks, because everyone's like, oh yeah, like I'm gonna nail the written exam and stuff, and then people freak out or people do stupid things like pull an all-nighter the night before the oral, or the night before the written exam, or don't study until like the 3 days when they have 3 days of a break before the written exam or something, and they end up making stupid mistakes. The oral exam is typically going to bring you up or give you a few of those marks that you may have lost in the written exam back, which is a good thing. So in terms of prepping for this oral exam, what I would recommend you do, and like I said, if you listen to my first episode on the podcast, let's say for argument's sake, you're prepping your answer about your family, right? So the examiner is going to say like, okay, like how many people are in your family, or tell me about your family or whatever. And you don't know what's going to come after that. That towards the end of your answer, you might say something like, I don't know, my dad is a businessman or something, okay? Or like my dad works in an office in town or whatever. That you would look at that last sentence and say, right, okay, well, if I'm going to end my answer on that, what could the examiner ask me next, right? does he like his job? Does he like working in the city? Does he drive to work? Would you like to work in an office? Would you like to do the same thing that your dad does? Whatever. Or do they kind of feel as though you've mentioned everything possible in your answer and they want to just move on to the next topic? Or do you know what I mean? That like, you're probably better off towards the end of each of your answers, giving yourself a like trigger point for the next topic of conversation so that you can predict it a little bit better and like predict the flow of conversation, especially for someone that gets a little bit nervous in the exam. So I don't know, say for argument's sake, if they say like, I don't know, what do you want to do when you're older or whatever? Or like, what do you want to do in college? And you might say, oh, I want to study languages. They might say, okay, and why do you want to study languages? Or do you think it's important to study languages? Okay, or will you have the opportunity to do an Erasmus year, or would you like to live in that country or something? Do you know what I mean? That like, you're sitting there and you're like, okay, I'm one step ahead of you. This is what our next conversation is going to be. Does that make sense? So I would again maybe have a look at your answers and see if you can kind of reformat them a little bit. Don't change them, but just so that you can sit down and try and kind of predict where the conversation is going to go. I would also say, and this is the one piece of advice I give every year, and everyone's like, as if I'm gonna do that, like that is so not cool, whatever. I don't care if it's not cool. All I'm gonna say to you is, now when you're happy with your final answers, sit down and either like, if you want to have someone ask you the questions or whatever, go ahead. Or else just sit down and read them out loud. The reason I'm saying that to you is time them. There is no point going into a 12-minute exam with 4 minutes of content prepped and you don't cop it until the day before you walk into the exam. So if you're at February now and your oral exam is in, I don't know, say 5 or 6 weeks, and you only have 6 minutes of content, you're probably going to want to have about 10 minutes of content prepped. Do you get me? So you're going to be like, okay, I'm obviously doing something wrong here, or I'm missing a section, or my answers are too short in general. So I would say make sure that you have enough content prepped. And then when you're starting to learn them off, learn your answers off, fair enough, so that you're confident with them. But towards the end of the lead up to the oral exams, you want to start learning off words. So like, you want like your trigger words. So like, you want the first word in a sentence, or like the main topic of conversation, or the next idea or something, so that you have a general idea as to what your answers are. Whether you're not going in with like, my name is Katie, I'm 28 years old and I am an Aries and my dad works here and my mom works. Do you know what I mean? You want it to kind of sound a little bit more natural so that you're going to get those conversation skills, pre-communication marks, all that kind of stuff in as well. Okay, now in terms of after the oral exam, my advice to you would be to try and avoid getting overwhelmed, in the sense that you don't want to get through the oral exam and then like either burn out or leave yourself with far too much stuff left to do. So I would say to you now, you're finished your mocks, you've got your oral exam coming up, and then you've got your written exam a couple of months later. You'd want to sit down with a diary and be like, okay, this is what I want to prioritize from my mock. These are the things that I need to do for my oral exam, get up to that point. And then from your oral exam to the end of the year, you want to start giving yourself topics or grammar points. So like, okay, so I'm going to make sure I have all my notes done on the environment. I'm going to make sure I have an answer done on homelessness. I'm going to make sure I have vocab done on the pandemic or whatever. But also as well, the other thing I would say is, don't be afraid to use everything that you've done for the oral exam, move that into the written paper. So like, for argument's sake, if you have an answer done on your life during lockdown or something for the oral exam, how can you rephrase all of that stuff so that you can use it to talk about the pandemic in the opinion piece? Does that make sense? Or like, okay, I really learned all my reflexive verbs, my oral exam, I might have to use them in my diary entry in the written exam, so that you're not being like, grand, that's that done, shove that to the side and let me try and relearn everything else. It's a language, it's not just a subject. Do you know what I mean? That like, everything that you're learning for the opinion piece can be reworked, or sorry, everything you're learning for the oral exam can be reworked to use it elsewhere. Like, it's a more holistic thing than just like a subject, if that makes sense. So I would say maybe try and make a plan of action. And again, so what are we saying from this? Don't take your mock for the be all and end all, okay? Use your mock to your advantage, whether it went well or it went badly, okay? So use that in your plan of action. Make sure that you are prepped in terms of the amount of content and your confidence with the content that you have done for your oral exam. And between the two of them, use both of them as part of your plan of action for the next few months from now until the state exams. Okay, like I said in episode 1, if any of you guys are unsure of anything I've spoken about, or if you are freaked out after mock and you have any questions about weekly grinds or whatever, you can either message me on Instagram or get in touch with the school or message the school on Instagram or whatever, and we will try and get you sorted and all set for both the oral and the state exams. And as far as I remember, I'm doing an oral crash course as well. So if you are someone who is very nervous about the oral exam and you think that that might be of some use to you, maybe get in touch or message me on Instagram and we'll see if we can get you sorted with that as well. Okay, so thank you for having me as your host again. I probably won't be allowed on the podcast again because I talk for Ireland, so this might be our parting goodbye. Hopefully it's not. I'll see if I can sneak back on. Best of luck. If you haven't done your mock, best of luck. And best of luck in your oral exam anyway. And yeah, be kind to yourself and keep at it. You'll be fine. Adios.